Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Well, good morning. How beautiful you are. Look around at each other. Isn't this a good-looking group of people? This is a beautiful hues and tones and colors. Woo, come on. This is a picture of the church, right? We are the church, right? We just sung about what a beautiful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. What a powerful name it is. The name of? That's right, God. You're on it right away. You're on top of it because we got some more response for you today. And I want to make sure you're on top of it. But you see, this beautiful and this wonderful and this powerful name created you. And you've chosen to follow Him. You bear the name of Jesus in you and on you. You are the church. No matter what color your skin is, no matter what cultural differences we have, we are the church. We are bound together by the blood of Jesus. So that makes us family. Didn't know if you want to be in my family or not, but I'm going to be in your family. And we're going to be in the same family. And we are brothers and sisters by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Okay, now that we have that straight, there are many things, though, in our culture that work against the maintenance of real community. Because we have community here. And here's where it seems like it works the best, or works at least in our visual, is when we come together to worship here. Because I'm telling you, we have some great worship. Thank you, band, and for vocalists for leading us today into the throne room. I'm telling you, Sunday morning is my favorite time of the week. But during the week, you see, it's easy to come in here and do this because we all have love for each other. We are greeting each other with hugs and with the love of Jesus in it, and we're reaching out and we're shaking hands, and we have true intent of wanting to know what's going on in each other's lives. But where it's hard is when we leave the building, when we leave this gathering. But you see, this here is meant for us to encourage. The battle is out there. And that's where we're reluctant to go. But we're the church. The gates of hell will not overcome the church. So you don't have to be afraid if you go out and you feel the Spirit prompting you to share your testimony or share your faith with somebody to draw them closer to Jesus. You don't have to be afraid because the victory's already won. You can't hurt the church. You're not going to close the doors. But you know, we go out there and we forget our community. The world works against community of the church. And the devil knows that. The devil knows that. We are conditioned in countless ways to think and act as individuals, not as members of a body. A supporting, caring, loving, encouraging, bind up your wounds and let's go get back in the battle body. And even in our own individual relationships, they are thinned out based on conditions. We carry conditions. You may say, I'm going to love with the love of Jesus, and it's unconditional. But guess what? You have conditions. If you were really honest with yourself, there are things that are going to keep you from connecting with somebody. You'll make up an excuse if there's not one already there. We do that. Our relationships get thinned out based on comforts. Well, that's not comfortable. I don't want to do that because I'm really not into that right now. I'm not comfortable with that. Or, you know, I've got something else to do. My priorities are getting in the way. And this is the opposite, though, of how we are supposed to live as Christians. You know, my son Garrett did something the other day, and I don't mean to embarrass you, Garrett. He's back there running lights for me. But he did something that just blessed my heart. It blessed my heart. It was just he and I. Charla was on her retreat weekend to Tres Dias, and it was just me and Garrett, and I was making a spaghetti dinner. I make some great spaghetti. I love spaghetti. It just doesn't sit well right here, but I love it. So I was making this. Well, I planned for me and Garrett to be at home, and we're going to have dinner, and we're going to play Phase 10, a card game, and we're going to do some stuff that we're going to just be he and I. And he runs out of the room. He says, "Dad, I got to go." I'm going, "What do you mean you got to go? I'm making dinner here. This is me and you, bud. It's mano y mano." And that's Spanish for anybody that doesn't know that, right? It's just us. And he says, "Dad, Nick's car broke down in front of the school, and he's stranded." I said, "Oh, okay, go. It's fine." Well, then he said the word that I didn't want to hear. He said, "Can I use your car?" I just got a new-to-me car because my old car broke down. And so the Lord worked it and blessed us. But I got this new car, and it's got the gadgets that I wasn't used to, like plug in your phone without taking a cord and blah, 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 all this kind of stuff. And he said, "I want to take your car." I said, "You got your truck. Just take it. It's okay. You've never driven my car." And he said, "Yes, I have." I went, "What?" He said, "Yeah, while you were at Tres Dias weekend, Mom let me drive it all weekend." Okay, all right. Well, and also, Nick's phone's dead, and he needs to charge it, and yours has got to charge it. He already knows everything about my car. And so I said, "Okay, but park at the school. Don't park on the road. I want him to be safe. He's never done that before. And go help him." So he did. He dropped everything. He went, and he met Nick, and they waited on the tow truck. He drove Nick, they towed the car to Nick's house, and he got him there, and he calls me, and he says, "Dad," he says, "Nick's going to be here by himself. His mom's working all night, and he's got nobody to eat dinner with. Can he come eat with us?" And I said, "Absolutely, I've got enough spaghetti. I can make spaghetti. It goes a long way." So he brought him over. That's real community. Dropping your own priorities to help somebody else. Someone who's in need, someone who's in a battle and wounded and needs us, needs love, needs care, needs undergirding in an emergency, in a crisis. That's community. And that's what God has called us to. And not just in believers, but we've got to encourage each other, but we become the hands and feet of Jesus when we go to do it to somebody that doesn't know Jesus. And they wonder, whoa, what did I do to deserve this? You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it, but Jesus did it for me, so I'm going to do it for you. That's community. But what works against community? I think, of course, I know, understand why they are, but online communities. You know, even churches have online communities. They stream their services for people. See, and I understand what they're for. It's for people who can't get to church, people who are shut in, people who are sick. Or maybe it's try to be a witness to somebody who may not walk into a church building. But you see, it shouldn't stop there. And for so many people, it does. Because online is not real connection. Me and you, face to face, where we can touch and I can see the look in your eyes and I can hear the tone of your voice and I can feel you and we can have real community face to face. That's what the church is. That's what God's plan was. This is harder for us than it was for our predecessors, because we are conditioned to be deeply afraid of conventional relationships. We trust less. And yet the Bible tells us we were built for these relationships. We want and need to have other persons unconditionally, unselfishly committed to us and us to them. Even if we get hurt sometimes. Anybody ever been hurt in a relationship? Raise your hand. Have you been hurt in a relationship that you've had, whether you got hurt or you did the hurting? We've all been there, right? We've all had relationships. You see, we were made in such a way, though, the Creator made us so that what is broken can be healed. So we're called to go knowing that there'll be trouble, knowing that there could be hurt, knowing that there'll be pain, knowing that there'll be discouragement, and those hurt our heart. But he created us in such a way that he will heal our heart. It's not that, okay, I did it once. I'm not going to do it again. That was too painful. Thank you for healing my heart, Lord, but I'm going to keep it nice and shiny. I'm going to keep it nice and whole because I want to worship you, I want to praise you. But that's not how he wants it. He wants you to go give it away. Put it out there. Yes, it will get hurt. Yes, it will get marred. It will get broken a little bit, but that's okay. He's the healer. He can make it new. He can make it whole. And then you go out and you do it again. And you do it again. We must forgive and continue to open ourselves up to more hurt, but that's the risk of real community. Christian theology tells us we were made in the image of God and that God is a Trinity. Jesus said he never did anything, said anything, or accomplished anything without who? The Father. The persons of the Trinity are absolutely one. Each person of the Trinity does everything with the others. We were meant to live like that. But sin, of course, makes all human community difficult and at times very painful. But should... Well, let me ask you this. Has anybody in here ever had a bad experience with food? Raise your hand if you've had a bad experience with food. Okay, good. Any of you women, when you were pregnant, you had something, you had a food, and in your pregnant time, it made you throw up, and you never eaten that food again. Anybody? Some of you? Anybody ever had food poisoning? Oh, wow. Well, Don, I want to know where you're eating so I don't eat there. But anyway, but listen to me. Just because you had a bad experience with that food, does that mean you stopped eating? You didn't stop eating. You're here. You need that physical sustenance. Just because you have a bad experience with somebody doesn't mean that you take yourself away from community. We must go back because God has called us as disciples to find those who are lost and bring them to Jesus. Remember, we're fishers of men. You heard that thing where all we're called to do is go catch the fish. We bring them to Jesus, and he cleans them. Yeah. Psalm 133. Listen to this. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious, listen to this. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. Yeah, where are you, Aaron? There you are. Yeah, he's got that beard going on there. You ever seen anything in anybody's beard before, like food get caught or anything like that? Well, that's not what this is, okay? This is beautiful because I want to unpack this for you a minute. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. There was a song when I was a worship pastor, one of my favorite songs to lead was a song by Tommy Walker called How Good and Pleasant. And so here's where your participation comes in. So your participation is, all you have to do is say, praise the Lord, right? Okay, so let me hear you. One, two, three. Praise the Lord. That's pretty good, but not good enough, because it doesn't. I don't feel that you mean it. So one, two, three. Praise the Lord. Okay, so this song that I led by Tom Arc says, how good and pleasant it is when we dwell together in unity and
praise the Lord.
And as far as the east is from the west, the north is to the south, we're all gonna.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, we're all gonna.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
No matter what comes against us, no matter what the world says, we're gonna.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah? Because we know it won't be long. We'll see our Savior coming in the clouds. We're all gonna.
Praise the Lord.
And praise the Lord. It doesn't matter what we go through. The world is bad, we know that. The world is trouble, we will have trouble, not if, it's when. But we can still praise the Lord. We can still give him glory. We can still thank him for many things in our lives, even for the suffering, so the opportunities to grow. We don't understand it. Many times we don't understand it. But can you trust the Lord that he is working all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose? his purpose. The precious oil is being used here in this as an illustration in this passage of Scripture of brothers and sisters dwelling in unity. Most of us will ask, well, how does that make sense? Let me share with you out of the book of Exodus chapter 30. I want to share this with you. It's verse 23 through 25 and verse 30. It says, take the finest spices of liquid myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet-smelling cinnamon, half as much, that is 250, and 250 of aromatic cane, and 500 of cassia, I guess that's how you pronounce that, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hin of olive oil. And you shall make of these a sacred anointing oil blended as by the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. And then verse 30 says, you shall anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them that they may serve me as priest. You see, we're a priesthood of all believers, right? So our unity is important. And not just our unity with everyone, not just the people that look like us, that act like us, and that behave like us. With everybody. The oil used to anoint Aaron was holy anointing oil. The holy anointing oil was a mixture of four spices in the oil. The spices were myrrh, cinnamon, cane, and cassia. The spices were mixed together in olive oil. They were different spices mixed together to make a wonderful fragrance, a holy oil. What a picture of unity. It is a picture of very different people, yet people who are united by the same bond. And that's all, that bond is all that matters. When these spices were mixed with oil, the oil became holy oil. It was not the oil that was holy, but the mixture that made the oil. By themselves, the spices could not make a holy oil. God did not ask for three measures of myrrh, but required four different spices. God could have used just one spice, but he did not do that. It is a great reminder for us that we need each other to make this beautiful picture of the church that God called us to be. No matter race, no matter color, no matter gender or family or economic status, we need each other to encourage one another to love and to good deeds. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. You ever been called a pot stirrer? Someone who's in there, you know what buttons to push on somebody? Well, they're just stirring up the pot. We're called to do that in the body, but to good deeds and to good works. We're called to stir, encourage each other. That means reach out and say, hey, I'm getting ready to go do this, and it's a great thing. We're going to go serve in this area. Would you go with me? That's stirring each other up to love and good deeds. Hey, I'm going to go pray with my brother. His dad's in the hospital, and he's hurting. And he's at the hospital right now, and I'm going to head up there. But it would be great if you would go with me, and let's go pray with him and love on him a little bit together. Stirring each other up, reaching out. But we have this condition that says, no, it's about me. It's my priority. I'm going to just step back. You see, the world works against the community that Christ created us for, that God created us for. And we need to be about that. That's loving God. That's showing that we love God in an outward. How will they know that we're Christians? By our love, loving each other. And the body of Jesus Christ is made up of all of these type of people. Okay, how many of you have sinned before? Raise your hand. Oh, good. Everybody hand up? I don't want to be by myself, okay? Okay, here's a harder question. No, it's not harder. It's just one, are you willing to admit? How many of you still struggle with sin in your life? It's good to be in the house. Where people are sick together, but we hold each other up, and we bind each other's wounds, and we encourage each other, and we invite the world to come in and find Jesus and do the same. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 6. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Such were some of us. But you were washed. Hallelujah. You were sanctified. Praise God. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Now, listen. God has put former murderers with those who hate, former thieves with those who lie, former homosexuals with those who lust, one race with another race, parents and children, wealthy and poor, the lazy with the diligent. And for those who choose Jesus and choose to give over their life of sin and be cleaned and follow him, then he has mixed different spices. We're all different. To come together, and he calls it the body of Jesus Christ, the church, followers of Jesus. We're all imperfect. We're called to be holy, not perfect, because God knows we can't be, because we struggle with sin still. We still have to go and ask for forgiveness for our sin. And we're all here under the same umbrella, the same covering of the blood of Jesus. He forgives us, so we're all former something or another. And that something or another is called sin. Not that we won't sin again, but we strive to be and walk in holiness. But we will fall. And we will be forgiven if we ask for it. And therefore, we should do with others who walk in these ways. You can forgive them. You can forgive offenses that have been done to you. The question is, will you? God has. Did you deserve your salvation? I didn't deserve mine. Did you deserve to be forgiven of your sin? I didn't deserve mine, but he did it anyway because he loves us. We are a Christian community. And that community is no longer natural or easy under the present conditions of the world. It will require an intentionality greater than required by the people before us, and uncomfortable for most of us. But building Christian community is not a simple duty. It's not something, okay, you do this and I'll do that and we'll dwell together in unity. It's not easy. It should not be a distasteful act of our will. It's like, oh, I don't want to do that, but I'm going to do that because the Bible says to do that. That's really not doing it out of love. Our love of God, the God that loved us, expect us to love with the same love by the power of his love. Because, yes, we can't do it on our own. We don't have the strength to do it on our own. And God knew that. That's why he wants to live through us. Community grows naturally out of shared experience. And the more intense the experience, the more intense the community. And it happens under the banner of grace. Every moment of every day that I walk, I receive grace from the Lord. Because in reality, if Jesus didn't do, I should be struck down for my thoughts, for my actions, for my intentions. But because of grace, God's grace, I can take every step of every day knowing that he loves me. So it's about grace. Can you operate? Can you be a conduit of the grace that you've received to other people so the body can look like this? And we can walk together in unity. Ephesians 2 says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace. And in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, listen, you are no longer foreigners or strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building, listen, in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple of the Lord. We are a holy temple of the Lord. When we leave here, this is brick and mortar. This is a building. Some people I remember growing up and says, this is the house of God. You don't do that in the house of God. You don't run in the house of God. Don't walk on those seats. This is the house of God. Have some respect. The house of God is within you, church. When you leave here, God doesn't stay here. God goes with you. He is with you. He is for you. And he's got an incredible, abundant life planned for you, which is filled with ups and downs. I heard something really cool, and I don't remember I heard. Maybe it was Charlie that said it to me, but it probably was. It was my wife. She says a lot of cool things to me. Teaches me so much. No, I mean that. But the mountaintops have great experiences, right? There's joy. We love being on the mountaintop. We love feeling that. It's a great day to be on the mountaintop. But the fruit grows in the valley. Oh, is that not cool? The fruit of my life, my kindness, my gentleness, my faithfulness. My faithfulness is great. Of course, I'm going to be faithful. Yeah, it's great. Everything's good. I'm faithful. That's right. I love Jesus. I love God. The church is great. Come on. I have a mountaintop experience. But in the valley, those things are tested, and the fruit of our character is grown in the valley. And true community shines in the valley. We run to people who are in the valley. Have you ever been offended by another believer? I have. Have you ever offended another believer? I certainly have. What are we called to do? Forgive and love. Forgive and love. And these are not just words. These are actions. Forgive is an action. It's not just words that we say. It has to be what we walk in. And not in our own strength. Matter of fact, many times it's not in our own strength, right? And we have to love. Love is just not, I love you. It's not just words to say, and it's not just an emotion to feel. It's an action to be lived out. Forgive and love. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all. Okay, I'm going to say that word, those two words again. Above all. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. So would it be safe to say that if you're holding a grudge, or if you're withholding forgiveness from somebody, that you're not loving? Could be. Because above all, Scripture says, love each other deeply. Ephesians 4. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers to equip. Listen to that. To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. My primary job as being called to be the pastor is to equip you. It's to equip you. Yes, I'm going to do it, but it's to equip you, not so the pastor can preach it and then just the pastor go out and do it. I'm just here to tell you what I'm going to do. No, I'm here to tell you what we must do. Because he's given us all gifts, but Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming, because they are there. Instead, speaking The truth in love. Not getting back, not getting your, I'll get you, I'll say one deeper, I'll hurt you more than you hurt me, but speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ, Jesus. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. In love as each part does its work. Church, we can't be joined together or build each other up if we don't show up. We can't build each other up if we don't show up. If you don't have real community. If you don't put yourself out there. And I want you to look around right now. Look how many empty seats there are. Now think, who's missing? Oh man, I hadn't seen that person in a few weeks. I wonder where they've been. Huh, maybe they'll show up. You're the church. If it's been laid on your heart, then there's a reason. Maybe you need to make a phone call. Maybe you need to make a visit and check on them. Maybe they've been hurting. Maybe there was an accident. Maybe they've been disillusioned. Maybe they've been had a hard time with the merge in 2017. We all hurt for different reasons. Maybe you need to reach out to somebody. Now, again, we all need to think about, okay, it's our responsibility. Well, it's their responsibility. They know where the church is. But do you need encouragement? Does the world get into your head and into your heart? Does the devil try to speak lies to you or find a crack or a foothold in your life and he wedges himself in? Absolutely. We're all the same in that. And so are the people who are not here. Maybe it takes some encouragement. Maybe it's reaching out with love as an action and not just a word. Well, I love you. Here's my email. I love you. Just much love. I hope to see you next Sunday. Why not dive a little deeper and say, hey, what's hurting you? What can I pray for you about? What can I help you walk? What can I help walk with you in and maybe help you carry your burden? Maybe what can I explain to you? That's not the pastor's responsibility. It is, and I'll do that to people I do, but God's calling people to your mind and your heart that you need to reach out to in love. Galatians 3. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And it doesn't mean that these things don't exist. But we are one in spite of our differences. We are called to live as one. And what draws us one? The blood of Jesus. What Jesus did for us and why we are here is because of Jesus, what he did for us. So we are all one. Even though we have different tones of skin, we have different genders, we have different races, we come from different cultures, we are one in the blood of Jesus. We may have been born or raised or lived in different cultures, but may grace abound under the blood of Christ. We are one race. We are Christians. 1 John 4 says, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So I'm going to say this, and maybe step on your toe or make you break your toe. I don't care. But some of you are going to walk out of here liars today. Because you have something against your brother or sister. And you say you love God. You're sitting here singing about his beautiful name, his wonderful name, his powerful name, and how much you love him. But then we harbor and hold this thing inside of us that keeps us from loving. When Christians experience Christ's radical grace through repentance and faith, it becomes the most intense foundational event in our lives. When we meet someone with a sharply different culture or race or social class, but who has experienced the grace of Jesus Christ through the gospel, we don't see the differences first. Because we are looking at someone who has been through the same life and death situation as we have, since in Christ we have spiritually died and been raised to new life, we are looking at someone who looks like us. We just heard them sing that song, From the Inside Out. We all look the same inside. We have the same color blood running through us. We have the same organs that work the same way in each one of us. We breathe the same breath, the same air that goes in our lungs and comes out, and it's all by God's design. This scripture isn't going to be up there, but listen to this. In 1 Peter, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. God chose you. Do you choose him? God chooses the person out there that rejects him. He chooses them. But will they choose him? And sometimes that's contingent on, are we going to be the community that he's called us to be? And reach out with love and forgiveness and grace so that they will know the same God, the same Jesus, the same Spirit that dwells in you and I can dwell in them as well. Like stones that have already been perfectly shaped by the mason, the builder simply lays each next to the other, and they interlock into a solid and beautiful temple. When we speak to others who know God's grace, we see that their identity is now rooted more in who they are in Christ than in their family or in their race. Fountain Church, you are a small picture of this. Look around. You are a small picture of this beautiful tapestry that God calls the church. And as a result, we sense a bond that overcomes those things that outside of Christ create insurmountable barriers to our relationships. But sometimes we bring those in here. But you see, Jesus died to knock down those barriers. When he died, when he gave up his life, the veil was torn. It wasn't just for the high priest to go in there anymore, because Jesus became our high priest. And it's through him, in Jesus' name, may it be so that we come to God now. Every one of us are included in that. And he died so that barrier would no longer be there. Father God, we love you. We thank you for today. Thank you for unity. Thank you that you are about it, God, and you want us to be about it. And we can do that if we lay down those barriers, those hindrances, those things that entangle us, and we act out in love, God, and we forgive. And Father, may we do that with each other. May we do that with the world, God. Pray for our enemy so that you may one day be able to call them family in the family of God. God, we love you so much, and thank you for Jesus. And it's in his name we pray, and everybody said together,
Amen. Amen.